Let us continue in the vein of that which we have been conveying unto us, and that is the spirit of truth. I said to you and even to the young people, there are many things going on in your lives. But as you get older, and perhaps even some of you now may realize that the essence of life is not invested in the things that are going on around you. Do not fall into the snare of those who are moved and their heartbeat is basically invested in the everyday occurrences of life. If you fall into that snare, when things begin to go against the essence of your plans and the things that you, in your mind, have prearranged as to the order of things, you are going to immediately find yourselves falling into disillusionment, and you'll begin to think that your life and the things that that life consists of all moving in a negative direction, and life is all messed up, life is all wrong, life is problematic, life is certainly geared to those things surrounding you that is falling into dire straits. As the problems begin to crop up, you find yourself completely dissatisfied with life. Now, I can understand the world and their concept of what life and living is. But God's people who are guided by and through His Word are certainly to be informed, first of all, that whatever is going down, it is going down according to plans. Oh, no, not your plan. But it is going down according to the plan of God. And it is His way. It is His way. It is His basic agenda that the course of life follows. And so it might not be going according to your plan and your will and your thinking. Amen. But that is not the structure of life. The structure of life is based upon the plan, will, and purpose that in eternity that God worked out and God mapped out, God laid out a plan. And He is sovereign, and everything that He has decreed and outlaid is moving in that that direction. So do not get caught in the trap of thinking that life is going all wrong. Amen. Life is going according to that to which God has outlaid it to be, as we say. And so in walking in Him, we learn to trust His judgment, to trust His ways. Again, I said to you, faith is not there for you, amen, to get your way. I said it again. Faith is not there for you to get things to conform to your plan and your purpose. Amen. In fact, as we look deep and deep into the Word of God, we abandon our general purpose, our general agenda, and we seek to align with the agenda of God. And so God's purpose becomes our purpose.
Yes.
Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Amen.
God's will becomes our will. God's plan, as we learn it, amen, becomes our plan, amen. And when you view life from that vertical plane, amen, then you see things begin to fall in place. And even if things are going reversed to what you would hope them to be, you still rejoice in the God of your salvation, knowing that God is working all things out to the best good. But it is the spirit of truth that is designed to convey this unto us. Amen. We have started out and we have moved through some aspects of it. I'll just hit a couple points as far as a review, and then we are settling into the context for today. Again, no one will ever understand or know the essence of life when it's viewed through the physical and natural medium of relating to it in a sphere outside of God. It's not possible. Life is actually defined through the principles of God, the principles of the Spirit. And thus, life is known, truly known, that is real life, through the medium of the Spirit of the mind. So we cannot relate to things in a physical way. That is not a realistic way of relating to things. So it is through the function of the Spirit communicating to our minds. This is why depraved man outside of God has no realistic view of life. And so it can only be formulated, that is, the essence of the realization of life can only be formulated through the input of the Holy Spirit, which God causes to awaken us from our separated state, the state of death, into a position, as Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 2, of an alive in Christ position. Amen. So all of this comes through knowledge. We are able through knowledge to grasp the nature of God, the attributes of God, the universe relationship to God, and of course our individual relationship to God, all being conveyed to us through the Spirit. And if there is a desire in your heart to know God, it's because He has placed the Holy Spirit in, which testifies and become documented evidence that He has chosen you according to His purpose. Again, the desire to know and the love for God is proof of one's calling and election. The fact that the true Spirit of God lives in your heart becomes testimony that you are His. And it is through the process of the Holy Spirit abiding within us that we come to know the eternal goodness. And you notice I say eternal goodness.
Yes.
Amen. Many of us view things on a daily basis. And one day it might be okay, and the next day, you know, something is out of whack. As far as our thinking and our vision is concerned. And this is why we have focused so much in dealing with the foreknowledge, foreordination, predestination, the pre-plan and pre-purpose of God, because from this we are convinced that whatever it is going down, it's indeed, in essence, from the eternal view, good, being worked out in time. And so there's no need to change this, change that, shift this, shift that. Amen. Because God is steady, and He is unmoved in His affection for those of us whom He has reconciled.
Yes.
So as we come to understand and to know these things, It impacts and it influences our personal experiences, that as we're going through them, we have a different view, because we are always looking toward the end and not focusing on our physical temporary circumstances. Therefore, when we say God is beautiful, and God is loving, and God is merciful, and God is positive and personal, we are not viewing it from the avenue of what is happening. And so, as we've conveyed to you, this is all communicated in the realm of what is defined as the spirit of truth, the spirit that belongs to truth. The spirit of truth, again, in essence, he is that function of the Godhead. We've been through that. I won't take time this morning to go back through that again. He is that function of the Godhead that conveys his the intentions of the plans and purpose and the will of God. And it goes from spirit to spirit. It goes from the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, to alive and awakened spirits. So everyone doesn't get that communication. It is basically described as the gift of faith, which is the great source from which those who of us who are the elect, we learn from the Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher, the process for the conveyance of truth as it works in our souls. And according to what God has assigned to us for truth, and this is what determines our capacity to grasp spiritual realities. Everyone says spiritual realities.
Spiritual.
So the spirit of truth is manifested to two designated ones. Amen. We are blessed this morning because our antenna is up. And it has nothing to do with us. The difference between us and those who do not receive the message is the fact that God has selected some, elected some, amen, and others he has not. And thus the word of God, his thoughts are expressed through his love and abundant mercy, by the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, the major function of the Holy Spirit is to guide our living spirits into all truth, as he, the Holy Spirit, is charged with expanding our knowledge in the direction of endless progress toward God's purpose. Amen. And so, as we look at the course of life, we focus on eternity, and thus the course of eternal life is structured by the assignment of the divine orders as they arrange to advance everything to the end of God's purpose for each individual. God has separate individual plans for each of us.
Yes.
Amen. As I said last week, it is his plan that some are going to have experience that takes them one route and someone another route, and we're not to be like Peter that looked over at John and said, "Well, Lord, what is he going to do?" So don't worry about the guy who lives across the street, down the street, across town. Amen. We pray for him, but as it deals with our life, what has God designed as a course for me.
Amen.
And understand this, success, true success, is knowing what the will of God is and then being in that will.
Amen.
Amen. And even if that entails you going through some trial and some situation,
yes,
if this is God's designed course and you're following that course, you're successful.
Amen.
Even if you're broke, you're successful.
That's it. Amen. Amen.
I know that seems strange, and you're not going to walk into ministers that's going to teach like this. But as we look into our contract, as we look at the terms, It is all outlaid there. As we are equipped with the knowledge of God's eternal decree, it causes us not to be troubled, doubts or failures, being all perplexed, confused as a result of the things that are befalling us. Amen. As they unfold, contrary to what we thought they should be, amen, it does not distort our eternal view, because if one has the proper view of eternity, will not falter in the midst of these adverse circumstances. Even question whether we are saved or not. Whether God loves us. Amen. Because of something that we are going through. In the midst of dark hours, even if pain is racking your body, amen, you may not know which course God is taking you as far as the trial you're going through. But one thing you always know from our contract, that He loves you. If He did not love you, amen, you would not have the destiny of His destination of His elect. Amen. Remember, He died for you. He shed His blood upon Calvary. Remember, He provided for you in eternity before the foundation of the world. Amen. You know who you are. Amen. You are the children of God. You have been placed in some positions. Amen. Regardless of what is happening to you in time, amen, there is a loud voice from the church screaming, God loves you.
Yes, yes. Amen. Yes.
And this spiritual knowledge,
Lord,
will deter you from standing disillusioned at the crossroads of the forward struggles of life. Because the Spirit of truth testifies that regardless of how things may seem to be flowing,
yes
indeed. Everybody say yes indeed.
Yes indeed.
This is God's designed way for your life. Now, a vivid illustration of this is found, and I want everybody to turn, long introduction. I was really recapping. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 through 18. And beginning at verse 16, L. Liverman is our designated reader this morning. From the King James, he is going to read just verse 16. Well, let's see, Elder, why don't you just read the verse 16 through 18 for context? And I know I will not probably, for the most part, I'm sure I won't get too much past verse 16. But for context's sake, read verses 16 to 18.
Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs.
My Lord.
Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
Oh my God.
If so be that we suffer with Him, that we must be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
The church say amen. Now, and when you read that on the surface, it looks like there is some conditions precedent to our glorification with Him. And as I say, this paper that we are continually documenting, putting documentation, I'm yet adding things to it. We have determined now that we will wait until I actually get all of the documents concluded, and hopefully this week and probably over the holidays, this Friday, we can come to a conclusion of it. We, if we are able to get it together, at least within the next couple of weeks, we will get this document to you. It's entitled The Spirit of Truth, the Spirit that is owned by truth. But as we look into the essence of it, you will find that how this passage has been taught basically would draw a conclusion that there is some contribution on the part of us that determines our glorification. Nothing could be further from the truth. All right. As we look in verse 16, which we'll start, here I'm going to read from the Greek text. It reads, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." We have touched on this before. I'm going to go back and reiterate this morning. Again, before entering into the scope of thought conveyance, again, we note the neuter gender of the Greek word pneuma, translated spirit, actually should be assigned the masculine here, because the Holy Spirit is He. Amen. The Spirit of truth is He, not it. It is not, He is not some inanimate entity. He, the Holy Spirit, amen, is a function of the Godhead, and the Godhead has definite personality. So here we render the Greek phrase auto to pneuma to correctly read the Spirit Himself. The fact that the Greek word techna, also translated children, is also neuter, but yet no one here is going to refer in using the word child or children on the basis of using the neuter designation it. I don't think any of us would appreciate if anyone called any of our children, our grandchildren, it. Amen. So it is He. He, the Holy Spirit. And so we believe that this confirms our preference here. Now, as we consider the function of the Spirit in this verse, here, and I'm going to use a little bit of Greek this morning, and the reason I continuing to write the document why we preach and teach directly from the Greek text. There's a methodology to this madness. This is not something that we do to be different, etc., so forth. But as we continue to point out some of the deficiencies of some of the English translations, most notably the one that most of us have the most faith in, and that is the King James, it becomes apparent that we must go to a more original source in order to grasp the intended thought conveyance. So here we have a Greek phrase, semantere to pneumati imon. This is rendered bears witness with our spirit. And what he's saying, that in this verse, that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. And here we ask the question, what makes it possible that the Spirit of God actually communicates with our spirit? And when we say our, here we're using the personal pronoun imos, translated our. When we say our, we're talking about the elect of God. Because it's obvious that the Holy Spirit is not communicating with all the spirit of men. Amen. To answer this question, one must focus on the trichotomous makeup of mankind. And we've gone through this body, soul, and spirit. Body again serves as that which we identify with the natural physical things around us. The spirit is the effectuation part, the center of our emotions, but what we are dealing with here is the spirit, which is the vehicle by which consciousness of the conveyance of communications is provided. Again, this is the attribute that distinguishes us from other living creatures. Yep, the spirit is the part of man that died in Eden, and is dead and inactive to all except the physical world around him. It is only those who have been redeemed, are spiritually resurrected and reconciled, that are capacitated to receive communications from the Spirit of God. Amen. That put us into elite, blessed company. Amen. Do not take it lightly that the Holy Spirit communicates and talks to you. Because there are so many that there is no communication whatsoever. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is the medium, follow me now, which conveys knowledge in the spiritual sphere in the essence of truth. So God's fellowship with mankind can only exist as he is able to spiritually communicate with him. No one knows the inner thoughts of man except the individual spirit within him. There are no mind readers. Don't get tricked into that that mindset. You don't know what I'm thinking because I'm smiling. That don't mean that I'm thinking good thoughts of you. Amen. A lot of times, men have, they say that Al Capone used to smile before he pulled the trigger. In fact, they say he would smile beforehand and afterwards. So you don't know what's going on, but it is our spirit, is my spirit that communicates with my inner thinking that defines, and I'm able to know. So I know through my spirit what I'm thinking, and you know through your spirit what you are thinking. Even then, our ability is confined to that which is physical or natural. Man may know all of the things of nature around him, and yet what is conveyed here is that no man knows the things of God, knows the things of a man except the spirit that is in that man. By the same token, it says, even so, the things of God. In fact, what I want you to do is to stop and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Everybody stop and turn to that. Amen. Okay. All right. Right? Everybody got it? Say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. We'll wait on your pages. That's fine. Amen. Not any hurry. It's so important that we come to a point of actually being in tune with what the Spirit of God is conveying through his word.
Yes.
The Bible, as we know it, actually that word is translated biblical. It's not a biblical word. Bible, biblica means book. Biblica means book. But this book is in essence the book of life. Amen. And if you ever, amen, are able to receive its intended conveyances, that is communication without any distortions, it puts you at a very great advantage over those who are not receiving the great message of God. Everybody say amen. It's got it.
Amen.
All right. Elder, just read that one. Just read that one. Well, I tell you what. Read 11, 12, and 13. Again, everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
For what man knoweth the things of a man,
mm-hmm.
save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world,
mm-hmm.
but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Mm-hmm.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which is man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
All right. Now, that's said a mouthful there. And I'm telling you, if we're able to tune in with what the Holy Spirit is conveying here, it puts us on a definite course of learning. From the Greek text, verse 11, everybody with us, amen. For who a man knows the things of the man except the spirit of the man in him? Likewise also the things of God no one has known except the Spirit of God. Now, follow me now. This verse opens with both, and here I'm not going to the Greek, I'm going to the grammar. Amen. There's no way to get accurate thought conveyances without using the grammar. And I know we don't do it in English. And this is why a statement can be made, and there are several interpretations of that statement, and the statement is made in English. But the grammar is there as a tool to guide us into proper reception of what the one who is speaking is supposedly trying to get across.
Amen.
Now, this verse, again, opens with a concordating conjunction. We have the Greek word "gar" translated "for." And any time a verse opens, or a sentence opens with "for," it's an automatic or any coordinating conjunction, even "and." I know we're not supposed to start a sentence or a verse, but the Bible is arranged and it is written that way. And the reason you're not supposed to start a sentence with that conjunction is because that means that you're starting the sentence in the middle of something. But because the Bible is written that way, then when you go to a verse, if you see that coordinating conjunction, it automatically lets you know to do what? Go up and see what they're talking about. Go up and find some context to bring down into that verse, because if you don't, you're like walking into the middle of a conversation and they're talking, and some of us have done that before, you know, and you say, we're not even talking about that, you know. You walked in and you caught certain words and you didn't get the true background of what the exchange was about. So here we have the Greek conjunction "gar" rendered "for." Also, you have what we call an interrogative pronoun. So, Pastor, you're getting too technical. No, stop. Take time and look at this. Amen. It will help you with your Bible study. That is, if you're one who is inclined to study the Bible. Some of us may or may not be so inclined. I will say to you, it is a good habit.
Amen.
Amen. To learn. Amen. An interrogative pronoun here, it is the Greek word "tis," translated "who." An interrogative, it means it asks a question. So it starts off by a question. Here Paul raises the question, for who? Here, what is he asking? I'll skip the Greek this time. For who a man knows the things of thought of the man? Here Paul uses the relationship between a man's spirit and mind to illustrate the relationship between the Spirit of God and the mind of God. So the phrase is simply making a statement in the form of a question. That is, who among men know the thoughts of a given man? The answer is obvious in that only the human spirit in a particular man knows what his inner thought or thinking is. By the same token, here, you will see Paul as he moves through this verse. He is alerting us that we must depend upon the Spirit of God to convey to us the thoughts of God. Only the Holy Spirit knows what God is thinking. And people get in trouble trying to figure God out. You're not smart enough to figure God out.
That's it. Amen.
Your intelligence doesn't reach that level.
Amen. Amen.
The only thing you can know about God is what His Spirit chooses to reveal unto you.
Yes.
Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Amen.
And a lot of people got in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Because they tried to figure out what God was doing,
mm-hmm.
or what God was thinking using human intellect.
Uh-huh.
This is what this verse, these verses in this context is conveying. Now, throughout this verse of scripture, it can be pointed out that we have another Greek construction here, emin. It forms what is termed an idiomatic phrase. It's translated to accept. An idiomatic phrase, again, it's that to which it is expressed in one form, but it has another meaning. You know, someone come up to you and it says something and you say, oh, get out of here. You don't really mean for them to leave because of what they say. What you're saying is, you got to be kidding. You don't mean that. You just, oh, get out of here. You know, I mean, we understand that you're not saying, get out of here. What you mean is, oh, you don't really mean that. That is what it is. So here, the word evenings, as it is termed, an idiomatic phrase, is translated except. So nobody knows except. Nobody knows what God's thinking except the Holy Spirit, which denotes the exclusivity of all outside the realm of the scope of the sign, mind, and spirit. So you have the mind and you have the spirit. And only the spirit knows what the mind is thinking. And just like that is true in you, only the Spirit of God knows what the mind of God is.
Yes.
And see, this is why the Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Yes.
I can stand here all day trying to convey thoughts to you. You won't get it unless the Holy Spirit tells you.
Yes.
Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning.
Amen.
So it is by God's design that the link of the concomitant mind and spirit of a given entity has the capacity to communicate inner thought conveyances.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be very, it's very important that you understand this as we move on into what is being basically transmitted in this verse. As Paul raises a rhetorical question to point out this fact. Likewise, he states in the same manner, only the Spirit of God, that is the Spirit of truth, has known and continues to know, as we have the perfect tense here, the things or thoughts of God. That's the only way for mankind to receive communication from God is there must be an interconnecting link of the Spirit of God
yes.
with the spirit of certain men. Amen. Some said to me sometime, Pastor, you get so high that up there that if a person walks in, won't be able to understand. I think I'm safe as long as I'm conveying the Word of God I'm staying within the essence of the context, basically breaking it down, but it is the Holy Spirit who, you know, sometimes we preachers, we overtax ourselves in thinking what our job is. I can't convince anybody anything.
Yes,
I can't show anybody anything. I can't really teach anybody anything. It is the Holy Spirit who is the teacher, and He will only teach those whose spirits have been made alive and those who are redeemed.
That's it. Amen.
This is not for everybody.
Amen.
Some ministries, what they do is they try to have something for everybody. Amen. When you are into the essence of the Word of God, only the elect are going to understand, and only the elect are going to be fed, and only the elect are going to be communicated to.
Amen.
It is not by my spirit that I am able to convey anything to your spirit. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit will use me, but He is the one who does the conveying.
Yes, amen.
If a light comes on, it is not because I told you, it's because the Holy Spirit told you. Yes. Y'all hear me this morning.
Yes. Glory to God. Amen.
I know this is hard for us to understand because we go on the basis of physical, natural things. I mean, I may go into a physics class and I can convey some things. I can receive some things from the teacher, but these are physical things.
Mm-hmm.
These are natural things. God has so arranged that also. But when it comes to the things of God, the spiritual things, it goes from spirit to spirit. But not my spirit to your spirit, but it goes from the Holy Spirit to your spirit. See, this is what he is conveying here. All this ought to cause us to just rejoice in the God of our salvation. He must really love you to be communicating with you. Because he is not communicating with everybody. Everybody's not going to get this. Amen. All men are not the recipients of God's thoughts and God's words. Amen. It was no strange thing that the children of Israel, they received communication with God because of who they were. By the same token, it was not expected that a Gentile would receive the things of God in the prior economies, in the prior dispensations. It would be no strange thing that there would be no communication of, let's say, the Mosaic law to a Gentile.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit was not assigned to convey communication to those who are not the designee of the elect. Are you all following me this morning? Now,
amen.
This is tersely stated in the 12th verse. Follow me now. From the Greek text, well, why don't you read the King James again, verse 12.
2 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Now let's follow the Greek text here. Are you with me? And we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. In this verse, we have a Greek phrase here. In fact, I've got to do it this way simply because in the English, King James, they kind of went off the track a little bit here. Follow me now. Amen. A little Greek ain't going to hurt you. Here, the phrase emisteo to pneumos to kosmu. Alavont means it is rendered, and we have not received the spirit of the world. Here, note the statement, the spirit of the world. It refers to the mindset of human that is heavily influenced and controlled by Satan. You see? And so, we can operate from the depraved end in that exchange, but hopefully it is overruled by our communication with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Satan, according to Ephesians, he is the ruler and authority of the air. He is the spirit that is now working or energizing in the sons of disobedience. And who are associated with this spirit? We have, according to Luke chapter 4, verse 33, we have unclean spirits, demons. We have evil spirits, according to Acts 19 and 12. We have erring spirits, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and 1 John 4. So it is impossible for the spirit of Satan to coexist with the spirit of God in a believer. Now, I know that's hard for us to understand, because we do certain things, and sometimes it's hard to distinguish from the outside looking in the difference between demon influence and demon possessed. But I can assure you this morning, if you're the child of God, you're not demon possessed.
Amen.
I can assure you. Doesn't mean that you can't be demon influenced. And I know we call each other devils and all that kind of stuff there, but see, that's out of ignorance. If you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, I guarantee you, he's not in there coexisting with the spirit of Satan or the spirit of the devil. It's like two. You've seen the old Western, you have the good guy and the bad guy in town, and they come to the center of the town and they say, this town's not big enough for the both, but one of them's got to go. Amen. And so, amen, I guarantee you that the Spirit of God, amen, is so potent that the spirit of the evil and the spirit of the devil is no match for him. So if the Spirit of God has entered into you, amen, the Spirit of God, the spirit of the devil that is, or the spirit of Satan, doesn't live there anymore. Now, he's hanging around, whispering in your ear and talking to you sometimes. Amen. But he's not a resident.
Glory.
I know that's tough. Y'all don't know you already. Amen. But only in a given day, he's talking to you and you're listening. And you're acting as though he resides there. Amen. But he doesn't.
That's it. Amen.
Some of y'all looking at me straight this morning.
Preach it.
Oh, it's... Amen. But my confidence is that... I'm saying what the scriptures are saying. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is backing it up. Alright. So, again, it is impossible for this coexistence. To emphasize this point, we know in this central structure the strong adversative conjunction, Allah written, but, as Paul expresses the fact that we have received the Spirit. That is, we receive the truth which is from God. Here, the Greek phrase, ek tu theo, is rendered, who is our God, or who is from God, denoting that God is the source. Now, it may seem confusing to some, but of a certainty, the Spirit that is out from Satan, he presently dominates this age. And when you see things go wrong, you must understand that he is the prince and the power of the air. This is why we don't go back into the out of the discourse talking about turning the other cheek. That won't work in this present and evil age that is dominated by Satan. I tell you, somebody beat you to a pulp while you're standing there talking about the Bible said for me to turn the other cheek. You see? When we realize that Satan dominates this age according to 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, and he dominates the world according to 1 John 5 and 19, we understand that we are distinguished, we are set apart from the world. Even though we're in the world, even though sometimes we act like the world, amen, God has sanctified us, set us apart from the world. Only thing that's happening, you are not acting like who you are.
Amen.
I can get mad, I can blow somebody, I can lose it.
Uh-huh.
Now, I can act just like unregenerated man, but that doesn't even change the fact that God has separated me and sanctified me, amen, from the world.
Amen.
I know that's hard for some of us to grasp.
Amen.
Especially when somebody, when another Satan does something to us. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But then you are so glad that you are positioned and separated when you act the fool. Oh, I know it's going to get quiet in here.
Preach it. Preach it.
Be just as glad that your brother and sister is separated.
Yeah.
when he acts the fool as you are happy that you are separated when you act the fool. You're still saved. You just didn't act like it that day. I remember one time, it was a long time ago, this is when I had the company. I went out on a job, and one thing I was stickler about when I was out there designing and doing plans in the architectural field is that you can mess up some detail or something, and I might not like it, but I didn't play the foundations. I went on the job, and this guy, he had laid out something that I knew was a blueprint for failure. And you don't play with foundations. And I began to tell him that you're going to have to change this and do this and so forth and so on. And he began to give me some wolf tickets because he didn't want to get down there and change it. But I knew that it was an accident. He'd been set up to fail if he didn't change it. And he said something, I said something, before I knew it, I lost it. So you passed it? Yeah. I didn't act like, I didn't give out the explicit deletes, but all I could say without the explicit deletes, I said. You know, especially when he come telling me he could throw me down there and put some concrete on top of me. So. He caught me in the wrong day. I wasn't thinking grace, grace, God. Amen. I'm not bragging about that. Everybody sitting here, you've been there. But that didn't distinguish the fact of who I was. I just wasn't acting like it. I mean, by the way, he did change that foundation. It cost him a lot of money. He changed it. But anyway, so basically, it is, we're separated. Follow me now. Give me 10 minutes. We're separated because we have received the Spirit who came out from God, of the very Spirit of God, had nothing to do with us. This is why it is so important. It is everything to know this. This is not just something to know this. This is everything to know and understand this. Let me go into the home stretch for this morning. As we look at the latter part of that verse 12, it succinctly sets forth the reason for which we have received the Spirit who is out from God. Here again, we have the Greek phrase, ipomen ta ipo tu pheo charistanda imin. It is rendered that in all of that, we might know the things freely granted or given to us by God. So we're separated that we might know the things of the thoughts that are freely given to us from God. Amen. And separate from the world so he can talk to us.
Amen.
Isn't that deep?
Yeah.
Here, as we look at this, we note that this grammatical instruction infers that enlightenment of the truth which is conveyed to all believers. So one doesn't have anything on the other. Just like he talks to you, he talks to your brother. He said, well, my brother's not listening. But sometimes you don't listen. Said, well, my sister doesn't act like she's saved. Sometimes you don't act like you're saved. I know someone don't like this morning, but it doesn't matter. The emphasis phrase conveys the fact that all believers have received the Spirit of God in order that they might know again, inner ethemy. They might know the things that have already been given to the elect by God, namely the deep things of God.
Yes.
Woo, hallelujah. When I read this, I said, thank you, Jesus. Because it's sometimes, he said, Pastor, you go too deep. What is so deep that the Holy Spirit can't convey it to you? I'm talking to a child of God. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for the Holy Spirit to convey to you? Can he cause you to understand? I said to you that everything that you know, you have learned from the Holy Spirit. Not for me. I'm a vessel. Not from the pastor, not from the preacher. And I try to tell the ministers all the time. And I think we were talking something like that this morning. Elder Liberman and I might have been yesterday out to the park. It's the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit didn't teach you nothing, you wouldn't know nothing. Amen. No matter how long I stood up here.
Amen.
And it's why I'm always saying, and of course they say, oh, Pastor, don't say that. It doesn't matter who's up here preaching or teaching. Because the Holy Spirit's got it covered. Mickey Mouse can be up here conveying the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Just a vessel. Just a vessel. A vessel. A vessel of clay. This is why I'm always praying, Lord, touch these lips of clay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Holy Spirit. Still got 5 minutes. Here, the workings of the Spirit are the teachings of, follow me now, y'all listen closely, you got to get this. The workings of the Spirit are the teachings of an enablement to know the truth that Jesus had revealed to the Apostle Paul. That is, he gives insight into that which he has revealed. I'm going to say that again. The workings of the Spirit are the teachings of. This is when the Spirit is working now. Not to when the organ or the piano is going and got the tambourine is going and everybody says, "Woo, the Spirit is hot." Hey, woo! That's not when the Spirit is hot. The Spirit is high when enlightenment. And somebody says, "Oh, thank you, Jesus, I see it." Oh, the Spirit is working. He's moving, huh? I mean, he's cutting the thunder. Amen. Because he's clearing away the cobwebs. Huh? And he's causing someone, to know him in a better light to change their own nasty way. Oh, y'all don't hear me.
Glory to God. Amen. Yes.
That's when the Spirit is working. He's working when we see the enablement to know the truth. And here, as the pastor writes this, he's talking about the volume of truth that God has revealed unto him. And this is tersely illustrated by the context. And I know I'm going to go back over this next week because I'm going to run over this real fast and I'll come back next week. But Colossians, 1 Corinthians, rather, 2:13. Read that in the King James. We're going to run a little over this morning.
1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Verse 13.
Verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
Which things also we speak,
mm-hmm,
not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth.
Oh, my God.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. The Greek text said, which things we also speak, not in taught words of human wisdom, but in teachings of through the Spirit. Get this. He compares spiritual things with spiritual. Everybody says spiritual. Now the pastor, a minister of God, who desires to be in alignment with the Holy Spirit and preaching and teaching the truth, must come to understand the difference between the physical and natural sphere of those things that are communicated by human wisdom and that which is spiritually unseen and discerned only through by the Spirit of truth. We must know the difference between natural and spiritual. Yeah. And when you're preaching, it shouldn't be natural, it should be spiritual.
Yeah.
The gospel of the grace of God is not what you see, what you taste, what you smell, what you physically connect with. The gospel of the grace of God are those things that are unseen.
Yeah.
That are real, that are more real. Follow me now. I'll read this statement. I won't try to get through this today. In this verse, Paul speaks to the heart of issue in identifying both the mode and method of communicating spiritual things. First, he states what it is not. He said it is not in the sphere of taught words of human wisdom. In other words, the truth or message of truth was not derived from human wisdom. As we reference Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Amen. I think you touched on some of that this morning. Thus, the word of truth is not in words which man's wisdom teaches, such as human philosophy or dictates of eloquency. The origin of truth is not derived from the devices of human wisdom, nor expressed through words of dazzling and attractive rhetoric, as would be employed by those who pride themselves on the witness in the wisdom of the world. Some preachers, they're great orators, and they will dazzle you, especially to get the rhyming things. And nothing wrong with rhyming as long as you're rhyming within the realm of the gospel of the grace of God. But the knowledge of divine truth is not traceable to intellect and mental capacity. I said it again. The knowledge of divine truth is not traceable to intellect and mental capacity. I said it again. The knowledge of divine truth is not traceable to intellect and mental capacity. Note this, and I'll cut off here. We look at the opening phrase, again from the Greek arche lalumi. It is literally translated, which we speak. And what Paul is saying here, what we speak is not in human wisdom and is not about natural physical things. You ever notice the gospel in this? And I'm going to close out this 1 o'clock, but you ever notice those who are preaching? You ever wonder why they stay out of Paul's epistles per se? Except when they go into they may go into some pastoral things that he's saying. But to actually get into the essence of doctrine, they stay away. They stay out of those epistles. First of all, they're not talking about anything you can take to the bank, anything that you can wear on your back. Anything that you can eat, and I know it's almost time for the let out. Some of us probably sitting in here thinking about something to eat. But you don't get that in this gospel.
That's right.
It is dealing with spiritual things, and we'll pick this up next week, where you compare spiritual with spiritual. It's about spiritual. If it's about physical, you're not preaching. You might be entertaining, but you're not preaching. You may be holding their attention, but you're not.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is not
needed to convey natural things to natural men. We connect with that anyway through our spirits according to the word. The Holy Spirit is needed to teach those things that Paul was passed through that the eyes haven't seen, the ears heard, not have listened to the heart of men. Those things that God has prepared for those who love them. But here it is. Here it is. He has revealed them to us. How? By the Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord another hand. Glory be to God. Amen.